Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible. If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in the 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
Hi, I'm your teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Come away from the window, Miss Ellen. The night air's turned cool.
Oh, they're here, Hannah.
Yes, I heard the car.
Come and look.
You'll meet her soon enough. Let me close the shutters.
Oh, Hannah, stop fretting. I'm quite all right. Oh, look, she's standing down there in the drive with Lewis. I wonder what he's saying to her.
Now, don't you start fretting.
Oh, she's younger than I thought. Oh, look, Hannah, she's turned toward the light. Oh, she's quite lovely.
Miss Ellen.
Well, what is it?
I hope you won't let our visitor upset you too much.
Upset me? Upset me? Oh, Hannah, I've waited for this for years. It isn't just chance that has brought Tom Wakefield's wife back to Glory Point. It was meant to be. It was the moving finger of fate.
Perhaps it was.
Perhaps. Perhaps nothing. Ever since Tom Wakefield came here to Jamaica... Oh, well, they're coming into the house now. Lewis must be behaving himself. He's carrying Mrs. Wakefield's bag and she's smiling. Oh, Hannah, maybe it will all be pleasant.
Of course it will.
The table is nicely set. The candelabra.
Just as you ordered, Miss Ellen. Everything's polished. We're using the Royal Dalton dinner plate.
Good, good. And plenty of hibiscus flowers in the guest room.
You put them there yourself this morning, Miss Ellen.
Oh, so I did. Well, close the shutters now, Hannah. I've seen her arrive.
Are you going downstairs now?
She's a guest in my house. I must greet her. I only stayed up here because Lewis wouldn't tell me when she was arriving. I give in to my nephew much too much.
I don't think so, Miss Ellen. He knows, as we all do, that you are mistress of this house.
Yes, I am, Hannah. I intend to remain so until I've sold it. Now, I must go down and meet Kate. Oh, there's Lewis now. I always know his knock. As if he had no time to be polite. Tell him I'm coming down.
Hannah, I expected you to be downstairs.
Miss Ellen...
Mrs. Wakefield is here. She's waiting in the hall to be
well,
thrown
to her... Well, for pity's sake, ask her into the drawing room, Lewis. I'm on my way down.
Hannah, show Mrs. Wakefield to the guest room.
Lewis, I must greet my guest.
Hannah, do as I say.
Yes, Mr. Pomeroy.
I wish to talk to my aunt alone.
Yes, sir.
Lewis, what are you up to?
I want to talk to you, Aunt Ellen.
There's time for that later. I want to meet Kate Wakefield.
Of course you do. I saw you standing up here at the window, watching. I just hope she didn't.
She's young, isn't she?
That's hardly what I came here to discuss. Aunt Ellen, I came around to your wish that as long as Mrs. Wakefield wanted to come to Glory Point, we would invite her here for one night. One night. We are much too preoccupied at this time for house guests.
That is not true, Lewis. Neither of us have enough to do.
My dear aunt, try to live in the present. I am extremely busy, but that brings me to what I want to say. As I guessed, Kate Wakefield suspected that her late husband came here.
Thank God.
Listen to me, Aunt Ellen. I felt under the circumstances it would be best to agree that he had been here once or twice.
Once or twice? You...
Listen to me. That seemed to satisfy her. I do not want you or anybody on this place to mention Tom Wakefield while she is here.
Do you think you can give an order like that?
I have given it. Now, I want you to understand.
Oh, I understand.
I doubt that. But it's the way it must be. Tom Wakefield brought trouble here. I want him forgotten.
You think you can stop Francesca from talking about him?
She will not meet Francesca.
Lewis, I have lived much longer than you. And I know many more things. It was once called the wisdom of age. Your generation ignores it. Tom Wakefield was here. You can no more cut off the talk about him than you can collect spilled mercury.
I have cut off the talk from all but you, Aunt Ellen.
Oh, I couldn't promise that, Lewis. Not to talk to Mrs. Wakefield about her own husband.
About her late husband.
I shall use my own
Listen
judgment.
Listen to me, you... You... Aunt Ellen, why do you plague me like this when I know what's best? Well, I shall have to give you the alternative.
You will tell her I am irresponsible.
She will find that out soon enough for herself.
Lewis, I always know when you're making threats. Your eyes become small and dark.
How can I get through to you? Aunt Ellen, Glory Point is not a safe place. Accidents can happen here.
I know.
It might be most unfortunate for Kate Wakefield if she were to hear anything from you about her late husband. I deeply hope that she will leave safely tomorrow morning.
I know we share everything, Hud, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This is your cold day. You sneeze first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestive relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we can save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You mean all the colds you give me?
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
This is your room, Mrs. Wakefield.
Oh, how lovely.
It's cool. And these shutter doors open onto a little veranda. You'll have breakfast out there tomorrow morning.
I hear the sea. Are we near it?
There's a wall in back of the palm trees, and beyond that are the rocks that drop right down to the sea.
Oh, why would anybody want to wall it off?
I don't know, Mrs. Wakefield. The house was here long before I was.
I'm sorry. What's your name?
Hannah Vale. I'm Miss Ellen's companion.
You're very kind to show me to my room.
You'll meet Miss Ellen at dinner. Is there anything else?
Did you put all these lovely flowers in the room?
The hibiscus? Miss Ellen did that. She raises them.
Have you been with her a long time?
Quite long. Dinner is at 8, but Mr. Lewis hopes you will join him for an aperitif at 7:30.
Thank you. Mrs. Vale?
I'm called Hannah, Mrs. Wakefield.
And I'm Kate.
Miss Ellen will like that.
Hannah, tell me, were you here when my husband came here?
Your husband?
His name was Tom. Long ago, he and I used to sail around Glory Point. I understand he came to this house once or twice.
We used to have many guests here.
Well, he was tall and blonde and very suntanned. People liked him.
I'm sure they did. I don't remember.
Oh. Well, thank you for listening to me.
Mrs. Wakefield, is that why you've come to Glory Point? Because your husband was once here, as you say?
There are some things about my husband's life that... Well, that I don't know. I'm trying to find out about them.
Mrs. Wakefield, I'm afraid you won't find out much. If your husband came here, He didn't stay. Nobody stays. Nothing happens here.
May I ask you one more question?
What is it?
Do you know anyone living near here named Francesca?
Why, yes.
I'd like to meet her.
She works up in a town called Negril.
Does she ever come back here?
How did you know of her?
Well, I understand she knew my husband.
I don't think so. She's been here very seldom.
I see.
Good evening, Mrs. Wakefield.
Well, Hannah?
I told Mrs. Wakefield you were expecting her in the drawing room at 7:30, Mr. Pomeroy.
I didn't ask what you said. I want to know what she said. Did she mention him?
A few times.
What did she say?
She simply asked if I knew him. I said no.
Very good. Now, if my aunt will be that sensible... Hannah, one more thing. Tell me, why is the dinner table set for 4 this evening?
Miss Ellen ordered it.
But you know it's only ourselves. And Mrs. Wakefield. That's 3. Why do you indulge her?
Miss Ellen said she would be joining...
Hannah, I am afraid my aunt is showing signs again of instability. Would you see that she has a sedative now? Mrs. Wakefield and I will dine alone.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
Golly, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Walt.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
Ah, dear listeners, a very good day to you, one and all. I am, for better or worse, Vanity Fair's author, William Makepeace Thackeray. This day, it may well be for worse. Worse, that is, for Becky Sharp. Recall, please, that with Giles, she has traveled post-haste to Chiswick, to the more disreputable house. There, child and young girl, she lodged with her artist's father. She hath come to outwit Mrs. Bute, who will herself journey to this place to question Mrs. Rickett, landlady, about the past of one Miss Sharp. Mrs. Bute believes, rightly, I fear, that a certain little girl was not brought up as good little girls had ought to be. Becky means to persuade Mrs. Rickett to vow otherwise. But as Becky leaned out of her carriage calling a greeting... Well, now, let us hear again Mrs. Rickett's welcome.
So,
Becky Sharp, is it? Tarted up and ermine is little Miss Becky Sharp. Ermine tippet, ermine cap, ermine muff. Might have known. Slick and slippery like your father afore you. Who you've done out with the money to pay for all that, Miss Becky Sharp?
With that kindly welcome, gentle Mrs. Ricketts made a vulgar gesture, spun on her rickety heel, entered her dwelling and slammed the door. Becky looked not in the least surprised. Not so, Giles.
Oh, my land, Miss Becky.
Oh, dear soul, isn't he?
I told you. All that money your papa owed her, she don't think kindly of you.
Oh, do you fancy I forgot about the money?
Nor has her.
And fancy I'd not pay it? That old tartar wouldn't do one thing I ask if I did not.
Wherever did you get enough?
My darling, clever, Rawdon won £65 off stupid George Osborne last night.
Oh. And how much is owed that nasty piece of work what spoke so terrible to you?
I don't exactly know. I'll hand over £20, far more than Papa owed, I'm sure. We had a wretched garret at 3 and 9 pence a week, and not worth it by half. Come, we'll go in.
We, miss? Well, you'd best not take me with you.
Oh, why ever not?
Well, it'll not please her. You haven't a maid. Or should I go, you'd best say I'm not but a friend, if you don't mind saying it.
Oh, why would I mind? You are my friend. But dear Mrs. Ricketts will be more impressed that you're my maid.
You're certain sure?
I know the old goody well and know how to get around her. Come along.
Well, is there aught I'm to say or
just
not say?
Only don't look surprised at certain things I may say.
Oh, I've learned that long past.
Wait, I'll speak to Fritz. Fritz!
Yes, Fritz.
Come down from the rocks, please. Oh, I do wish he'd not heard what the wretched woman said.
Oh, it don't matter, Miss Becky. He's fetched with you, Fritz.
Yes, what should I do for you, Mum?
Fritz, just there, down the road, is the Red Rooster Tavern. Oh, take this. Go and have yourself a pint.
Oh, jolly good. Ah, thank you, Mum.
Oh, Fritz! Stay there, warm and comfortable, till Giles comes for you. We may be quite a while.
You may be certain Mrs. Ricketts watches through dirty lace curtains, notes the fine carriage, sees money pass from hand to hand, now notes how plainly dressed Giles walks apace behind Miss clad in ermine sharp, notes and sniffs. Becky Sharp, once poorer than any church mouse, putting on airs with a maid servant, as woe and a laugh. Was Becky wrong to fancy Mrs. Ricketts would be impressed? Dear listener, you shall learn after I, like Fritz, enjoy a pint.
What if she'll not open?
Oh, well, then I shall ask you to kick the door down.
She ain't coming. Well, I'll kick.
Count on it. She's just on the other side of the door. Mrs. Ricketts, I brought you something.
That'll fetch her. What is it you want here, Becky Sharp? I know you in your fly ways. You've not changed for all your finery. You're up to something always wise.
Yes, always and still am. You're quite right. May we come in?
No, you mayn't, you and your ears.
Oh, I did so want. This is Jenny Giles, Mrs. Ricketts. She takes very good care of me.
Mrs. Ricketts, ma'am. High and mighty, ain't we? Serving maid and all.
Oh, yes. I did so want Giles to see the portrait Papa painted of you and Mr. Ricketts. I hope you still have it.
Oh, paid for his lodgings with pictures. Pictures don't buy victuals. No, they don't. I have it, Rodinroff. And precious little good it's done me then or now. You said you brung me something.
I have. It's from Papa.
Up to your old tricks and lies. Him. He's dead. Him and his gin. Putting his grave up, the two bailiffs quarreled over his corpse. Him owing money to the whole of the village, me most of all.
And hasn't rested easy in his grave on account of it, nor have I rested easy above ground. Since I left this house, I vowed one day I'd pay you what's owed, and that is why I've come.
Well, now there's a thing. Why'd you not say so straight off? Oh, come in, do, you and Mistress Giles. Brung me money, have you?
This house, this hall, exactly as I remember it.
Well, come along into the parlour. We'll have a cup of tea. Kettle's at the boil in the kitchen.
There, Giles, look. Mr. and Mrs. Ricketts painted
by Papa.
Ah, how he did paint real nice, Miss Becky. Yes. A fine artist he was. Fine gentleman as well. Oh, sit down, the both of you. I'll run and fetch tea.
Ah, thank you. Tea will be very agreeable.
But first, I'll have me money, Becky.
Oh, of course. I believe Papa said he owed you, was it £15?
15. 20 it was. Of the ledger to prove
it. Never mind the account book. £20 plus interest. Shall we say 30, Mrs. Ricketts?
30? Did you say 30?
I am sure Papa would want me to say 30.
Oh, well, 30 will do nicely. Thank you kindly.
Whilst you fetch tea, I'll count it out.
I'll have it now, lest you change your mind.
After I came all this way from London, now, would I do that?
I know Becky Sharp know her well. Up to the twitch she was, full of jokes she was. And likely she don't change.
Likely she doesn't. 15, 20, 25, 30, there we are.
£30. God bless you, miss. Tea. Oh, Lady Chiffy, make yourselves comfy, make yourselves to home.
Oh, this is home, Mrs. Ricketts.
Oh, am I to sit down, Miss Becky, and have tea?
Of course.
Well, what do you think? Well, I don't like her, no, I don't.
Oh, Giles, she's all right. Poor soul, always had to scratch her way. £20. Not tuppence over 15 did he owe her, is there?
Oh, I knowed her mouth was full of lies,
but how she lighted up with £30 in her grubby hand. Never before had that much in her life.
The minute you handed it over, you'd ought to have told her what you want her to do.
No. I know what I'm about.
I expect you do with that. Oh, Miss Becky, your papa did paint beautiful.
Yes, he did. And how he cursed the world for its neglect of his genius.
Oh, Mrs. Ricketts wearing a wedding dress and a mister with brass buttons.
Giles, that portrait paid for a quarter's rent.
Ah.
Oh, Papa, soon Giles and I will go to the garret and see where you and I lived and played and laughed. And you painted pictures that should have made you famous, but only paid for your gin.
Oh, you loved him, Miss Becky.
Even when he was drunk, Giles, which was often, and beat me, even when he didn't know what he was doing. But I loved him all the same. And he loved me.
And why would he not? But her, Miss Becky, think you she'll say what she ought to Mrs. Bute? £30, nor no, £30. I don't trust her and her close-together eyes. No, ma'am, I don't.
Nor I. Tomorrow is another day, and we shall see. I am, do not forget it, your obedient, obliged servant, William Makepeace Thackeray. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol Cream Formula. It's the hair color professionals use, the best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Dinner's about ready, dear. Another 10 minutes. Oh, you brought home the mail. Good. I didn't get down to the village post office today.
There's a letter here I opened by mistake. I see now it's addressed to you.
No, that's all right, honey. I don't have any secrets.
Well, apparently you do.
What?
You're being sued.
Sued? Sued? You mean like I'm going to court?
What else does being sued mean?
I'm being sued for what?
Listen to this. Dear Mrs. Baxter, my client, Hubrington Q. Smith, has informed me that you stated to various people that he's in the habit of giving signals to his partner during bridge games.
What?
This is patently untrue and constitutes a slander of my client's good name and reputation.
Oh, let me see that.
Let me finish. Prior to instituting an appropriate action at law against you, I suggest a conference in an effort to avoid a lawsuit with its attendant costs and expenses. Very truly yours, Ralph J. Doherty, or Doherty, Rafelson, O'Reilly, and Smith.
Well, I don't understand this at all. Who are all these people?
You're being sued for slander.
Oh, now, dear.
You are being sued for slander. Or you will be, unless we settle out of court, which means money, I suppose.
This is crazy. Let me see the envelope. Must mean some other Baxter.
No, it's addressed to you, all right. Now, just what does this mean?
Don't ask me. I don't even know this. Hubrington Q. Smith. Hubrington, what a name. Who is he? I never heard of him.
Well,
never.
You have now.
I don't know what this means at all.
I'll tell you. Knowing how you women talk and gossip, you have said to somebody that this guy Smith cheats when he plays bridge.
Oh, well, I wasn't the one who said it.
Who said what?
It was Evie. She's the one who told me.
Told you what?
About the Smiths. I don't even know them. Evie said she and Fred weren't going to play bridge with him anymore because Fred finally figured out how the Smiths won every single time.
Oh, boy.
Fred figured it out. The Smiths have signals. You know, pull his earlobe if it meant hearts, or smooth his mustache if he meant spades, things like that. Fred said they have all sorts of signals, and Evie was the one who told me about it.
And who did you tell it to?
I don't remember telling it to anybody.
Obviously, you repeated it to somebody who knows the Smiths and who told them you were going around saying they cheated at cards.
Well, it is cheating.
You can't repeat gossip like that.
It's not gossip. Evie said that Fred said he knows for sure.
But you can't go around saying people cheat at cards.
I'm not going around doing any such thing. It was just a bridge club. We were having some coffee and cake, and we all just got to talking. And it was somebody else who brought up the subject of cheating at cards and how awful it is, and somebody they suspected.
That's terrible.
I know. I mean, not cheating in any form is terrible.
No. It's terrible the way you women gossip. You know why there'll never be a woman president of the United States? Because a woman cannot keep her mouth shut. She cannot keep a secret.
Well, we just had a male president who certainly knew how to keep all sorts of secrets, and I can't say that turned out very well.
Okay, all right. Go on now. You had to pipe up and tell about the Smiths, people you don't even know.
I did not use their names. They shall be nameless, I said.
You must have said their name by mistake.
No, I don't even know their first names. And even if I said Mr. Smith, good heavens, Smith? Could be one of several million people.
Well, obviously, it was a Smith who lived somewhere near here. Did you say Evie told you? Did you say they were friends of Evie and Fred?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I may have. I mean, I do think I said Evie told me.
And obviously, if Evie told you, it had to be somebody Evie and Fred played bridge with. And you just sat there and gossiped in front of eight people.
Seven people. I was the eighth. Two tables of bridge.
All right. Seven people, one of whom knows the Smiths. Now, you better call Evie and get her over here.
It's dinner time.
Get her over here. Let's get to the bottom of this.
All right. Yes, I did tell Peg that Fred said the Smiths have secret signals. But I didn't know Peg was going to go blabbing it all over the place.
No, I wasn't blabbing it all over the place, as you put it, Evie. And I know when I said it at Bridge Club, I did not say who they were.
Well, somebody who knows the Smiths figured it out, and you must have let something slip somewhere.
Well, I wasn't at Bridge Club that day, so I'm going to stay out of it.
How can you stay out of it when you're the one who started it, Evie?
I told you, Peg. I told you in utter confidence.
You are both guilty of gossiping. You, Evie, said something you can't even prove, right?
Well, you ask Fred. He says he knows they have secret signals.
Can he prove it?
Yes, because they apparently got their signals mixed. When they were out in the kitchen later, they had a fight, and we heard her say, "I thought when you emptied the ashtray, I should bid clubs."
That's right. I forgot that. You said they must have gotten their signals mixed. Right?
Yeah, I'm going to call Jack and get some legal advice. In the meantime, Evie, why don't you get Fred over here?
Well, Well, I really don't like Fred to know I said anything to Peg.
Listen, if this thing gets to court, all of you are going to be dragged into it. Fred better know sooner than later.
Well, I know one thing, Peg. I'll never tell you anything again.
Me? Why aren't you the one who's being sued?
Boy, I hope this teaches you women a lesson not to gossip. Now, Evie, will you please get Fred over here?
Fred is going to kill me.
This is your roving reporter about to interview a nose.
How do I look?
You're not on TV, Nose. This is for radio.
How do I sound?
Pretty stuffy. Why don't you use four-way nasal spray?
Is four-way the leading brand?
Not yet, Nose.
Then why should I use it?
Because you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way nasal spray. And four-way can cost a lot less than the leading brand. A lot less. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast. You can interview me now.
Thanks, Nose, but I just did.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytril and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytril in the 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytril carton to Daytril, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytril now and get a dollar back.
And you're the one with the
party.
I don't know why I'm getting all the blame when it was Evie who told me.
Well, I don't know why I'm getting blame when Fred's the one who said it.
I certainly didn't expect you to tell Peg or anybody else. The Smiths are our friends.
Boy, some friend you are.
Now, Peg, Fred, calm down. Let's not say things we'll be sorry for. Now, at least, we have some legal advice. Jack is going to call Smith's lawyer, who will call Smith. And Jack will get back to us after he has talked again to Doherty.
Seems to me it's an awful tempest in a teapot.
Would you like people to go around saying you cheated at bridge?
Now, the fact remains they do have secret signals.
Fred, that's something that couldn't be proved in court.
Well, all this business of suing for slander, ridiculous. Ruining his good name. His name and reputation isn't so hot anyhow. He can't hold a job because he's always telling everybody off.
Fred, you going to start something else now?
Oh, no, sorry. I happen to know he pulled a very funny deal with...
Fred!
What I can't understand is which one of our bridge club friends could have told the Smiths. Who do you think, Evie?
I don't know. I think we better form a new bridge club with friends we know are our friends.
I do, too. Right. Right. Good heavens. We were all just talking casually.
Honey, when you women talk casually, as you put it, you're gossiping. And no gossiping is harmless. You can't say a man is crooked. You can't name a doctor and say he's a quack. You can't say a certain lawyer is a shyster. You can't say anything that damages somebody's reputation. It's all grounds for slander, if it can be tracked back to you.
Oh, you mean I couldn't have said to somebody, for example... Well, I mean, I know he's dead now, but I mean, I couldn't have said Al Capone is a crook.
That's right. If it had gotten back to him, he could have sued.
Well, boy, Evie, I don't know why you had to repeat what I told you.
Look, Peg is my best friend. I didn't know she would repeat it.
Ah, there. That must be Jack getting back to me. Now, everybody keep quiet while I hear what he has to say. Hello? Oh, I'd hoped it was you, Jack. Yeah, what's the verdict so far? Yes?
I know perfectly well that when I talked about these people you knew who had secret signals when you played bridge with them, that I never used the name, Evie. I told Bob that. I said they shall be nameless.
Your girlfriends must have figured it out.
Hey, I bet it was Katie. I know she knows this man.
How would she know I was talking about them?
She probably played bridge with them.
I know.
Sit down, please.
Sorry.
Jack, okay, thanks a lot. Well, how come you think they backed down? Oh, really? Oh, well, fine. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
What did he say?
The Smiths will settle for a retraction and an apology.
You mean I'm supposed to call this Mrs. or Mr. Smith and apologize?
No, a written apology. Jack will draw it up.
How come they're settling out of court after stirring up this mess?
I guess Jack and their lawyer pointed out that a court case with them accused of cheating will be worse for his reputation than just forgetting it, especially if you all got dragged in.
Well, thank heavens. I hope this has taught you girls a lesson. You cannot gossip and talk about people.
Yeah, that's what I said to them.
Well, I'm sorry, Evie. I really am. It was stupid of me.
Yeah,
it really was stupid
of me. Yeah, stupid of me, too. Well, Let's play some bridge. We're here.
All right, I'll get the cards. You want to get the cards?
Fred. What did you mean when you said you happened to know that Smith had pulled a very funny deal?
Oh, yeah. Well, he used to work for Limbert, you know? And Al Limbert told me, and he should know, that U.B. Smith manipulated a stock deal that was just this side of being, well, you know, pretty shady.
No kidding. Oh, yeah. U.B. Smith. Wasn't he the one that was involved in some kind of a kickback and got in the paper?
Well, right. Nothing came of it because Yubi's pretty tricky. You meet him, you love him. He's charming, delightful, witty, funny.
Yeah, what was the stock deal that you said was shady?
I wouldn't want this to go any further, but what Al Limbert told me, and he ought to know, he heard it from Ed Fraley.
Do you hear what I hear?
Oh, yeah, and we women
The Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden was written by Peg Lynch, directed by Warren Somerville, produced by Dick Cox and Peg Lynch, and has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. I'm Charles Woods. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
What time is it, Angela?
5:30. Here's your wristwatch.
Well, thank you, darling.
You have to go now, I suppose. I'm sure you're expected home for dinner.
In a few minutes. I hate leaving you.
I know, Marsh.
What are you going to do now?
Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to go over to Emily and Jason's for dinner.
Oh, you're going, aren't you? Because if I can't be with you, I don't want to think of your being alone here.
Yes, I'll go.
Angela, are you all right?
Yes, Marsh. I'm fine.
Darling, I'm very happy. I hope you are.
Happy? Well, will you settle for glad?
I'll settle for whatever is right for you. For us.
Yeah. That's what we're doing, I guess. Settling.
As in settling down? Not a bad idea.
Well, I was thinking of settling for what we can get.
A lot more than that for me.
Marsh, we really shouldn't fool ourselves.
Oh, darling.
It's not easy to talk when you're holding me.
That was the idea.
Oh, darling.
Oh, I was waiting to hear you say that.
I'm afraid to get used to calling you that.
When we're alone?
No, darling. When we're not alone.
When I think of how long I've waited to hear you say it.
You're counting.
That's better.
You are good for me.
I'm glad to hear it. It was my intention.
How can we be so pleased with ourselves when we know we're going to be leading double lives from now on?
I don't know. Maybe it's because we were really meant for happiness and each other.
Do you believe that?
I'd rather believe that than the opposite.
It's not going to be easy, Marsh. Not for me with Emily and Jason. You with Ginger.
Oh, when I think of all the times Ginger accused me of...
Yes, I was almost ready to leave the hospital, even Chicago, to get away from it.
If you'd gone, I would have followed you.
Then Ginger was right. She knew something that we didn't.
No. Don't say that, darling.
Ah, but if she knows you so well, how can we keep this from her now?
You know something? I really don't care.
Oh, Marsh, my darling, we can't be reckless. There are too many people involved.
Em, what time is Angela getting here?
In time for dinner, dear.
Well, wonder how she's feeling. If she's all right. Well, let's have a drink.
Well, just a light one for me, Jason. What do you mean if she's all right?
Well, she seemed upset this afternoon. She went home a little early.
Oh? She didn't call me. What was she upset about?
I really don't know. We were talking in my office, and I asked her if she was all right, and the next moment she said something about having to leave and just ran out. It's not like her at all.
When we talked on the phone this morning, she sounded all right.
Well, she's been kind of aloof, avoiding me, I guess.
Oh, you must be mistaken. That's just not Angela.
Yeah, I know it isn't, darling.
Well, we'll ask her when she gets here.
Well, I hope you have better luck than I did.
Well, there's bound to be some simple explanation.
I hope so. You saw Dad today, huh?
Mm-hmm. I plied him with cinnamon coffee and homemade coffee cake.
Oh, without clearing it with Caroline?
I don't think your father has any reason for complaint about Caroline. He's in much better condition than he was before he married her.
And he knows it. He just likes to feel put upon.
He was very lucky in his second marriage.
Yes, although it might have been better if Caroline didn't have so much money.
You're kidding. It's never been a problem for them, has it?
Well, it may become one. Caroline's thinking of asking Kurt to work on organizing her plans for the children's clinic.
Oh, yes, Robert mentioned that.
And he did more than that with me.
Well, ordinarily most fathers would be happy to have a son-in-law gainfully employed.
Oh, yes. In fact, Lynn's first husband is still in Dad's law firm.
I wonder what would reconcile your father to Lynn and Kurt's marriage.
He's already told me. A quick divorce.
Oh, Jason, he doesn't mean that.
And you still believe in happy endings, don't you?
Of course I do. Look at us. Don could make it next week. Oh, I thought I might ask the Carters, too. Of course, we couldn't play bridge. I see. I'm sorry. Well, maybe we can have lunch. All right. Fine. Goodbye, Pat. I'll bet she's upset because Betsy got the lead in the play instead of her Janie. Oh, hello, dear.
Hello, Ginger.
No kiss?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, let's have a drink.
I got the ice cubes out.
That's good.
Where were you this afternoon, Marsh?
What?
I called you at the hospital and I said you'd left her.
Oh, I just wanted to do some shopping.
Shopping? You hate shopping.
That's true. Where's Betsy?
She's at rehearsal.
Oh, that's right. The school play.
Marsh, I don't think she should be in that play.
You already said that, Ginger. Now, look, I'm glad she got the part. She wants to do it. Why are you against it?
I told you, Marsh. Janie Sexton would have gotten it except for Betsy.
Oh, that's a lousy reason, Ginger.
You won't think so when Don Sexton votes against you.
Oh, boy, Ginger.
Pat Sexton just called me. They were coming for dinner tomorrow night, but she said they couldn't make it.
And you think it's because Betsy got the lead in the school play instead of her daughter?
Yes, I do.
And so to put us back in good standing with the Sextons, you think Betsy should turn down the part?
Oh, it's much more complicated than that.
Not really, Ginger. When you cut away all the garbage, that's all that's left.
I'm only thinking of what's fair. If Betsy had been in the drama club longer, it'd be different.
And if she hadn't bumped the Sexton kid from the part, if it had been someone else, say Susie Carter, you'd still say that?
Yes, I would.
Well, we'll never know. Anyway, Betsy got it, Ginger, in fair competition, and she's going to keep it if I have anything to say about it.
That's the last of the cups, right?
Oh, in a second, Emily. There, you can have mine now.
I didn't mean to rush you, Angela. Do you want some more coffee?
No, it'll just keep me awake.
All right, I'll start the dishwasher, and then we'll go into the living room. You must be sleeping better.
What?
Well, you look so much better now.
Oh, you are feeling all right, aren't you?
Of course I am.
Why are you worried about me?
Well, for one reason, you're my sister, and I care about you. And for another, Jason's worried about you.
Well, he has no reason to.
Why did you take off this afternoon?
I was tired, that's all. I wanted some time to myself.
Well, if that's all.
That's all.
Angela,
Have you been avoiding Jason lately? Emily, would I be here tonight if I were?
Well, that's a little different. But he's gotten the impression that you don't want to talk to him or even see him at the hospital.
I see him every day.
Now, come on, Angela. Jason wouldn't think that if he didn't have a reason.
Is it because of me?
Why do you ask that?
Well, everything seemed all right before we all knew
about the brain tumor.
Oh, Em, you don't think that would make a difference?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Well, I can't help worrying about you, but that's normal.
But that shouldn't affect you and Jason. Now, you've always been such good friends, Angela.
I know you love
it. Oh, come on.
No, of course you do.
And that's the way it should be.
I mean, after all, you both have me in common.
Emily.
Angela.
He loves you, too.
Why, you're as important to this family as anyone ever could be.
Has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.